Today on Real Radio.
If you peek ahead to verse 13, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. This guy was so aware. Church, listen, don't run out of the building thinking that you're getting all beat up right now, because there's a great victory at the end.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 18 in a passage that tells of one of the Messiah's parables, the one wherein two individuals with entirely different attitudes entered the temple. It's a study that helps us to put divine justification into proper perspective. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called Between Heaven and Hell.
But we have two men with two opinions of God as we go through this message, and your opinion as their opinion matters. And by the way, the word stood, mark that, the word is powerful. The word stood here means that he stood straight up. The word we get out of it in English, he stood erect. He stood like there's a steel pole in his back. He stands straight up because this man's proud, he's confident, and he's speaking great prayer, but no one's listening. This guy did not have a self-esteem problem, I'll tell you that. In fact, I tell you what, I'm impressed by how impressed this man is impressed with himself. That's why, listen, it is the nature of religiosity, of legalism, to be impressed with self-performance. My dear friends, listen, how in the world will you leave this place and arrive into heaven if you and I think, now don't get me wrong, if you and I think that we can get there by being good or by being a Pharisee? Didn't Jesus say that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven? What do you feel like when you hear that? You say, oh my goodness, I don't fast twice a week. I don't tithe of all that I have. I'll never make it. Listen, stop thinking that way, because it's not by rabbinical or pharisaical righteousness that you get to heaven. Your righteousness and mine must exceed the righteousness of this tremendously good, super clean, amazing, outwardly appearing religious man. If this guy were to walk into this sanctuary this morning, you would probably back up because of intimidation. Imagine, I'm not picking on the Pope, but he's, you know all the stuff he wears? What if the Pope walked in here today? What would you do? Oh! Pope! Well, wait a minute. The Pope's got to get to heaven the same way that you and I go. But see, all of the ostentatious of it all would cause you to go, wow. Listen, God doesn't go, wow. You can't wow God. He's not wowable. But we are. And look what he says. In fact, mark this down. God, I, number one, thank you that I, number two, am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I, number three, fast twice a week. I give tithes, four, of all that, what? I possess. How many I's did you count there? Five I's. Is that some of you already thinking? Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Never in our lives as Christians are we to look at other people and say, and this is how we drape it. Okay, you guys with me? We go like this. Wow, look at her. She's a hooker. She's a prostitute. Or he's a drug addict. Or he's a this or he's a that. Wow. poor guy. I'll have to pray for him. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that. Stop right there. You could honestly be saying that you're glad you're not like that, but why? Now listen, this is going to cut to some hearts right now. This is a very supernatural moment. You might say, Jack, don't you dare offend me. I am not a drug addict, or I am not an extortionist, or on the list that Jesus lays out here. I'm not any of those things. I understand that. On this side, I understand that. I'm not any of those things either, on this side. But what's in my heart? Is there the temptation? Is there the battle to think a thought toward a woman that's lustful? Or for you to think it toward a man in a lustful way? Didn't Jesus say, if you look at another person with lust, you've committed adultery? You say, oh, man, well, yikes. I forgot about that part of the Bible. Well, what about this? Have you fudged on your income tax in your favor? Well, the government doesn't deserve my money. Yeah, I agree with you. Amen, brother. But God's going to deal with them later. I'm not judge. You're not judge. God's the judge. And he's going to deal with it later. Listen, didn't Jesus say, render to Caesar the things that Caesar's? Why? Because the Lord's going to take care of Caesar. That day's coming. You see, all of a sudden, sin looks really bad on somebody else. We may not be doing it, but we can be thinking it. And Jesus says, I see that. And now all of a sudden, instead of I'm not like this and I'm not like that, that's the heart of a Pharisee. We need to be very, very careful. And that cuts to our heart. Religious pride is the most dangerous form of pride that the Bible addresses in all of Scripture, because religious pride hints about a man being godlike. Don't you think? Just imagine, don't you think there was a little bit of pride in the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve, God knows that the day you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. What did she do? Give me that thing. Isn't it interesting that that I prominence is so very much there? Listen to this, mark it down, James chapter 1, verse 23. James says, anyone who listens to the word of God and does not do it, and do what it says, is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. Okay, look, I got a mirror here. See this? I brought one for your entertainment. And so James is saying, if anyone looks into a mirror, watch what he says. And after looking at himself, okay, pretty sickening, and goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. Watch this. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, that is the law of love, by the way, of God, that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. What does that mean? We have this tendency to wake up in the morning and we go like this. And we, oh man, look at them bags under those eyes, and there's a booger there, and man, I got to fix that, and whew, brother. And you look at all these things, okay, and you women are worse of all. You get these lamps. You get these incredible lamps, and then you turn on the light, and it's blasting your face, and you see all these things. And why would you torture yourself like that? You don't see us guys doing that stuff. But you look at it. Jesus is saying, man is like this. He looks at his face and goes, And then puts the mirror away and walks away and forgets what he looked like, i.e., he forgot how ugly he was, and begins to look at other people and say, hey, man, wait, there's sin in your life. What are you doing? Hey, what's wrong with you anyway? And he begins, because he forgot what he looked like, he begins to depart from the law and the love of grace, and he begins to tear other people apart. But James says, if you continue to walk in this life with this mirror of the word of God before you, you're going to do well. You're going to walk humbly with thy God. You know what I mean? Because all you need to do is open your eyes again to see what you look like. And by the way, when you look in the mirror, that's what other people are seeing. By what we say. By how we conduct ourselves. The Pharisee didn't care. The religious person doesn't care about that. They just run people over with their goodness. We have to be careful about the I. The Bible teaches us that Satan wants to be the greater one. Did you know that? In fact, mark it down in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who did weaken the nations. For you said in your heart," this is Satan, he said, quote, "I will ascend into heaven." Count them, okay, count them. One, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the farthest most sides of the north." In other words, I'm going to sit where God sits. Three, "I will ascend above the clouds." Four, "I will be like the Most High." Five, do you see the spirit of religious arrogance and where it comes from? Satan wants to be like God. Isn't it interesting that his chant is, "I am greater"? That's Satan's chant. "I'm greater, I'm greater." Like a petulant, spoiled child, "I'm greater." No, he's not. The eyes are dangerous. I don't mean your eyes in your head, I mean the eyes. When it's all about I, me, what's in it? I was this and I was that and I, listen, be careful. Be very, very careful because it affects how we view other people. It's very, very dangerous. On the other hand, if you peek ahead to verse 13, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. This guy was so aware. Church, listen, don't run out of the building thinking that you're getting all beat up right now because there's a great victory at the end. In fact, let me say this. I would much rather be the tax collector in this parable than anybody else. Because the tax collector would not even look up to heaven. What does that speak regarding his heart? I'm not worthy to even look in the direction of God. Are you with me? Look, what else? He beat upon his breast, which is a Middle Eastern display of grief. I am a bum. I do not even deserve to look towards God. And look what he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He would not even raise his eyes to heaven. He beats upon his breast and he says, listen, "God, be merciful to me." Here it is in the Greek. The original Bible in Greek says, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." Do you know what that means? In theological terms, it means that this man owned his own sin. It means this. The word implies he blamed no one else. And all of a sudden, I'm gripped with my own culture. Dr. Phil, Oprah, talk shows, Jerry Springer, I don't care what it is. It's always your mom and dad's fault, isn't it? And what if it is true that it's your mom and dad's fault? What are you going to do about it? Listen, our moms and dads, did they not hurt our feelings? Did they not hurt us? Yeah, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Have you ever looked at the definition of dysfunctional? It means not normal. What is a normal home, I'd like to know? Because when I look at the definition of dysfunctional, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Did we not all grow up in dysfunctional homes? So all of a sudden, listen, I will either live my life like a Pharisee, looking down my nose at others and blaming them for the evils in the world, or regarding my life, I will not even be able in my heart to look up to heaven. I will beat my chest and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I've sinned, Lord. It was Jack who sinned against you. Lord, I know my sins." In fact, those of us who are Christians, are you not always aware of, even though the Lord says, "I've forgotten, Jack, I have forgotten your past." Can someone say amen? Amen. He says, "I'm not going to remember your past anymore." That's awesome. Did you know God is the only one who can forget? I mean, I'm over 50, and I forget a lot of things, but not enough. I forget the things I need to remember, and I remember the things I want to forget. But I remember when I was 14 years old and what I did that summer. I'm trying to forget it, and I'm 51 years old trying to forget that stuff. And if I let my mind relax, I will see that summer in Technicolor. You know what I'm talking about? The four of us know exactly what I'm talking about. I need his grace. And listen, when I get to heaven with you, I'm going to get in there and go, "Oh, yes!" I am not going to walk in and say, "Hey, Mike, good to see you here." Are you kidding me? I'll be hanging on to your shoelaces, rejoicing as we get into the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, why? Because I know with this tax collector, I am the sinner. You see, I'm responsible for my own sin against God. And when I say responsible, this is what I mean. I did it, but I'm going to give it to him quick so he'll take it away. Give it to him if that's where you're at today. On the Jewish list of the nation's top 10, who's hot and who's not? This Pharisee's hot. He's at the top. When he walked by, people went, ooh, ah. They were so holy. Did you know what they did? They walked around. And when you walked by, when I walked by them, they pull their robe in so that their shadow wouldn't even touch your shadow and they wouldn't be corrupted by your presence. I've actually had that happen to me physically in Russia. The metropolitan priest of the Orthodox Church walked across Red Square. We were preaching on Red Square in front of Lenin's tomb. It was so great to be able to say, Lenin's dead! Right behind me! He's entombed! But Jesus has risen from the dead. And the Russians were gathering around. This is way back in the early 90s. It was amazing. Well, the metropolitan saw us doing this stuff, and we had t-shirts on. And he walked by and all of this stuff. And it was amazing. I mean, Hollywood couldn't have scripted any better. He walks up and he goes like this. Grabs his robe and he pulls it really tight together right to his body and walks away from us. He was like, it was amazing. And the translator said, do you know what he just did? And the translator began to describe to me. And I said, I remember that in the Bible. Listen, Jesus is not like that and nor should we be like that. Well, the tax collector, he doesn't even make the list. He's a turncoat, we would say, here in America. He's a one that's committed treason, if you would. Also this, look at verse 13. We have an opinion of others that matters. It's very, very dangerous. And when we consider that, we look at ourselves, we look at God, and we also, it forms how we look at others. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, but listen, they who measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. As a Christian, we always want to look to the Lord for the standard of our lives. It's a very, very important thing. Our opinion of others, my friend, really matters. God loves others, and so should we? Point number two this morning between heaven and hell is the decisions we are making right now matter. Right now, you and I have the privilege and yet the responsibility to be living between heaven and hell. We are living in time. Our lives right now are being spent for good or for evil. We're living for God or not. And the amazing thing is, listen carefully, the Lord is a master at getting our attention. Is he not? He often sends, listen, our way beautiful discomfort, I'll put it that way. He will send our way a terrible good. See, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, I have pastors who are friends of mine who pastor churches across the United States. Guess what's happening? Their churches are growing. Why? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. It's not like we all stumbled into some pixie dust and everyone's coming, oh, let's just go to church. Oh, no, no, no. You know what's going on? Hardship is happening. God help a pastor who thinks, my, my, look, people are coming because I must be really teaching it. Are you kidding? All we have to do is quote the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. Give Bible. But listen, it's the Lord that speaks to the hearts of humanity. It's the Lord that speaks to all of our hearts. And many people are seeking God and knocking on the door for help because of the situation that the world is in right now. People are losing their jobs. Last week, two people came up to me in one service last week, visiting the church for the first time. Do you know why? You know how they got here? Because their father or their husband, in either case, committed suicide. Yeah. And you say, well, Jack, how can that be a beautiful discomfort? I leave those things to God. I just know this. That when hardship and difficulties come into our lives and our jobs on the line and then our families on the line and our friendships are on the line, I know this, that in that discomfort comes a great, great rescuing of God. If you're willing today in all of what's going on in your life to say, God, I don't get it. Listen, I can't save myself. I can't fix my family. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, listen, you have come out of that place of being self-sufficient as a Pharisee, and you've come to that place as a tax collector needing God so badly. My friend, join our club. This is where we live. I may be a pastor, but you know what? I'm a sinner first. Lost I was, and wayward from God. And I lived in my own life thinking I can do my own thing and I'll do my own deal and I know how to make money and I'll go and do that and I'll go do the other, and I lived without God. And at the ripe old age of 19, God got a hold of me and shook me to the core. And I went from that place, though I had never stepped foot in a church before, I went from that place of being a Pharisee to being a tax collector gladly. Oh God in heaven, have mercy upon me, O Lord. And that's a fine place to live for me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Between Heaven and Hell. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 18, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And what we're talking about here at church currently is 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we've just come through this study. And in fact, the three-part series is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And by now, I've got everyone's attention when I put those words together. Saints, that's the believers. And the Bible talks about those who are at Corinth were believers. And then sex, Paul addresses in chapter 5 what was going on. There was sexual immorality among the believers. And then sinners, this is quite interesting. The sinners, the non-believers in the community of Corinth, began to rebuke the church for its ungodly conduct. That's a pretty sad day when the world has to correct the church. Well, we took this three-part series and looked closely into some of the ailments of the church and the current church today, and that is that in many churches and in ministries, there is sexual immorality. How to deal with it? What does the Bible say about it? How does the leadership exercise church discipline among its members that are practicing willfully sexual immorality? The Bible is very specific about this. And so this is a hard-hitting, direct, and yet I would say loving presentation, series of teachings that bring to light a topic, frankly, that people would either not want to bring up or not want to deal with. But we take it on, and it has generated a tremendous conversation here at church. Many copies of this little mini-series has gone out, and we thought that it would be great if the family at Real Radio would also be able to benefit from it. So it's been powerful, and I encourage you, as part of our radio church together, that you might get your own copy and study this for your own learning, admonition in the Word of God. So you can find out more information. In fact, Mike, you can let the people know how they can obtain their own copy.
Of course. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.